Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our play-by-play call of the day. Butler has really been up and down of late. Down last night. Seton Hall beats him at the buzzer.
McKnight gets the basketball. Looks around. Throws it toward the rim. Mabukalashvili catches, fires, he hits! And Seton Hall wins it!
Courtesy of Learfield IMG. In fact, all of our college calls are Learfield IMG because they have every college in America.
Yes, they just about. I haven't heard one. Nah, well, there's a couple that are out there, a couple outliers.
USC isn't. Michigan State's not. They're Fox.
Yeah.
Right, so some are. There's like maybe seven or eight, something like that, that aren't. But, yeah. Yeah, college basketball is interesting this season. We're going to talk with Joe Lenardi tomorrow about this. The prevailing thought on college basketball this season has been there are no great teams, and there's no signature individual. There's no Zion Williamson, for example. But you know what you have this year? You have a depth of really, really good teams. There is a long list of really, really good teams in college basketball. One of them is right here. And that's what it is this year. A series of really, really good teams. Don't let, when you hear somebody say there aren't any great teams in college basketball, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's perfectly fine. But guess what? Don't think that puts the sport down. All right? Because it doesn't put, I mean, you got a bunch of really, really good teams this year. It's just more balanced. I mean, let's take it to something a lot of fans in our area love. There are no great wrestling teams this year. There's some really, really good ones nationally. Iowa's really good. Penn State's really good. Ohio State's really good. But, in other words, like, you look at Penn State last year. No. When you got Bo Nickel and Jason Nolfe and Anthony Cassar, you know, and Mark Hall, that's a generational team.
No question.
That's a great team. There is no team like that in wrestling this year. None. But you got a bunch of really, really good ones, and that means it's going to be a wide-open, really good national championship meet coming up next month in Minnesota. I mean, it's okay.
Yeah. Going back to basketball, Steve, last night as I was traveling across our lovely Commonwealth, I listened to Duke, North Carolina State. Duke did not do well. They got crushed.
88-66 or something like that.
Yes. It was close for a while, and then North Carolina State in the
second. Then the opening tip occurred?
Yeah, and then it was downhill. North Carolina, as you said, they were playing downhill, especially in the second half. Duke made a slight run. But, you know, we think of Duke as being one of the good teams, and here's North Carolina
yes,
State.
No question.
Pardon? And they're crushing them.
And they've been playing really well.
Yeah. I mean,
Duke, after beating North Carolina dramatically in Chapel Hill, you know, people forget they had to come back, I think, like 48 hours later, and they had to play Florida State, which is really good.
Yes.
At home, and they beat them.
Yes.
And that was on a Monday night, because I think I was Penn State was at Purdue that
yes,
the next day.
Yes, it was. And, you know, the commentators were saying, oh, boy, you know, how can Duke recover? They were in overtime. They had to come from way back to tie the game, and then they had a brutal overtime. Will they have any legs left? And, of course, they did quite nicely.
Well, I know a little bit more about NC State than maybe some other programs because James Johnson, JJ, mm-hmm. who was on the Penn State staff for years, is one of the assistant coaches at NC State. And Dick and I had a long talk with JJ at Thanksgiving because there was a secondary tournament at the Barclays Center that included Memphis and NC State. In fact, I think they played Thanksgiving Day. And we talked to them for a long time about some of the guys that they have, and they really liked a lot of guys they have. And NC State normally plays Duke well in PNC Arena, and PNC Arena is also the home of the Hartford, I mean the Carolina Hurricanes. And
yeah,
I get my little Whalers in there.
Yes, almost.
Yeah. And, you know, so big crowd, loud crowd, raucous crowd. They ran them out. I mean, that's the way college basketball is this year. There are a lot of teams that can beat other teams. And Cincinnati lost last night to, was it UCF last night? At home.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati took a shot from midcourt, and Jerron Cumberland released it too late. And it would have won the game, but they lost by two in overtime.
And what you're saying is, and I think a lot of people will agree, a competitive top 66, 68 teams makes for just an incredible tournament.
Well, and again, it comes down to game by game by game. You're not going to have the featured name of, hey, I can't wait. And let's face it, when Zion Williamson played last year for Duke, if you like basketball, he was appointment viewing.
Yeah.
You wanted to see Zion Williamson play. You couldn't wait to see him play. And because he was exciting, dynamic, big guy that runs like that, can dunk. I mean, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
There's no player like that this year. I mean, probably the guy that is the leader at the moment for National Player of the Year is Luka Garza of Iowa.
Yeah.
Well, Luka Garza of Iowa is a really skilled post player who's dramatically improved each year he's been there. He's in his third year. Penn State will see him again coming up a week from Saturday when they play out at Iowa City. But he's not going to be the swashbuckling Zion Williamson. And so, you know, with all due respect to Luka, he's not appointment viewing as opposed to Zion Williamson. But college basketball this year has a long list of really good teams. And not only that, but older. I mean, you look in the Big Ten, Xavier Simpson of Michigan, Anthony Cowan of Maryland, Cassius Winston of Michigan State, Lamar Stevens of Penn State, they're all seniors. You've got some older players that have helped build and relate to fan bases, because when you're there a long time, they can relate to you. And not only that, they're all playing at a high level. I mean, let's face it. Cowan goes into Breslin Center, and he's out there nailing shots at the end of the game. Oh, where have we seen that before? Well, that's because we've seen Anthony Cowan do it before. Lamar Stevens goes into Breslin. He scores 24. Plays an incredible game. So you're seeing, I think, some of the older players really shine this year. I talked about Garza. Garza's a third-year player. And did I think Garza was going to be this kind of player in his third year compared to the Garza I saw as a freshman 2 years ago? No way. I thought he'd be a very good player, but not to this level.
Well, he's certainly proven to be a major force for the Hawkeyes, that's for sure.
He's terrific. His footwork is spectacular. He can step out and hit a three. And you know what? I thought against Penn State in that heat, he got a little tired. Okay, because everybody got a little tired in that heat. It was over 80 degrees on the floor that day. All right, but you know what? For the most part, that guy has not shown any sign of fatigue all season long. He really, I give him all the credit in the world because he's obviously in great, great condition.
Steve, isn't it fair to say that he plays a lot of minutes for the Hawkeyes?
He does.
I mean, they need
him to.
Yeah, I mean, they have to have that go-to guy in the lineup, and it's not often that he gets taken out, and maybe if he gets taken out, it's right before a media timeout or something like that, but he's in there from start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, they'll bring in Cordell Pemsel to give him a few minutes here and there. Pemsel's a guy I thought a couple of years ago was going to be a very good player. Not great, but very good. He's turned out now to be okay. You know, he's kind of like kind of fills in spots for them up front. But that's a different story, and we'll get to that next week when Penn State plays the rare February 29th game when they play at Iowa.
Carver Hawkeye.
Yeah. Well, so there's the return game there. The playoff thing with the NFL is the big story.
It is. Steve, I just found this on the Pittsburgh Trib Review newspaper. The player representative for the Steelers is their guard, Ramon Foster, pretty outstanding player. Yep. And he said in July that he was in favor of the expanded format, and his comment was, reward the teams that get the opportunity to do good. And he wasn't concerned about adding the additional two playoff games, watering down the playoffs, which I guess was a concern to somebody. So, it looks like, you know, he is on from the get-go.
Well, but then that goes back to what we said at the beginning. Notice what he says when we found out about it in July.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hint, hint,
well,
secret talks.
But again, secret talks going on. But what do you try to do? Let's get the stuff out of the way that we agree on. And obviously, that was proposed, and it didn't take long for the players to go, yep, rubber stamp it, that's in. Because, again, each team that's in the playoffs gets winner's share, loser's share. They get bonus money. And it's not part of your contract. You get bonus money. Well, that's two more teams that are going to get bonus money. And not only that, after not having the bye teams get bonus money because they're not playing that weekend, now the two teams with byes will have it. The Rams would have made the playoffs last year. And the Steelers would have made the playoffs last year. Yes, that's right. America would have been forced to see Duck Hodges one more time.
And so excited about that.
Brutal.
That is the watering down aspect of going to two additional teams.
But then there's also risk because Kansas City would have played them.
Yes.
What happens if you play that? Kansas City would have gone in as the prohibitive favorite. There's no getting around it.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, that doesn't mean the Steelers, as a professional football team, cannot walk into Kansas City and win. They can. All right. But Kansas City would have been the prohibitive favorite. But what if something fluky happens in the game and suddenly Sammy Watkins is out? What if something fluky happens in the game and, oh, my goodness, Patrick Mahomes turned an ankle? Now we have to play Houston the next week, and we don't have him. See, so you are putting even the prohibitive favorite at risk by playing again and not having the bye week.
And this just in, the membership, according to the NFL, it just sent out a statement. The membership voted today to accept the negotiated terms of the principal elements of a new collective bargaining agreement. The Players Association would need to vote to approve the same terms for there to be a new agreement. It looks like it's going to become official, according to the NFL.
And now the 17 games and the extra two playoff games, and how they'll do this will be three games on Saturday, the opening weekend, three games on Sunday. So it's going to be like the Sunday's going to be like a normal NFL day. And that would be, instead of having games go at 4:30 and at 8 o'clock, you'll add in a 1 o'clock playoff game. Okay. But what does the 17th game do? And what do the extra two playoff games do? They add in inventory. Inventory is the key to all this in the TV negotiations. We're going to give you more games, more to sell. That's going to be pivotal. Why is the Big Ten at 20 games in basketball? Because those extra two games for each Big Ten team, the Big Ten has total control over the inventory as to whether they put it on BTN, Fox Sports 1, Fox, ESPN. They've got control over two extra games of inventory, okay, instead of non-conference games. They have control over it. Same thing in football. They've got 9 conference games instead of 8. That gives the conference control over the inventory of 75% of the games their conference teams play. Hey, that's, you know, so it's that control part and the inventory part that does make a difference when you're doing a contract negotiation with a media entity. And that's what the NFL is going to have. And I don't know how long the CBA is supposed to be. I would guess 5 years. Does it say, Matt, how long it is?
I'm hearing it's 10.
10?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is insane, because they were talking about it today on Dan Patrick's show, too.
It says in the Pittsburgh Tribune, give attribution to Joe Rutter. This would provide an additional $5 billion in revenue for the players over the course of a 10-year collective bargaining agreement.
10 years.
Wow.
Well, this is smart to make it 10 years, because now you have stabilized the game for a decade. No strikes.
That.
No lockouts.
And you've bound the next group of players to come along. You know, in 10 years, what would you say, Steve? 80% of the players today will not be in the NFL in 10 years?
I'd say 95%.
Yeah. I mean, who stays more than 10 years? Very few. So they're going to be bound to 2029-30. And those will be kids, young players who weren't even in the high school when this thing is negotiated.
Now, the one side note I want to make about the agreement is, what if anything do they do about franchise tags? I mean, if I were the Players Association, I'd say, look, we'd like to see it only there be once. You could only be franchised once in your career. You know, because the Le'Veon Bell thing, you got franchised a second time. All right. Now, he ended up not playing.
Yeah.
But I think it's something that's an example at the forefront that you would bring up in a negotiation. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Joe Lenardi's on the show today. Tomorrow, I should say. Joe Lenardi joins us tomorrow. We'll talk bracketology with Joey Brackets, my friend. And he and Jerry Palm are the two gold standards on bracketology, I think. Although Mike DeCourcy does a really good job. And Mike and I go back 35 years. Which is 34 and a half more than he claimed.
Was he a state college guy?
No.
Oh,
Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Oh, yeah. And Lenardi kind of invented bracketology, in a sense, the term, didn't he?
Yeah, I guess in a lot of ways he did. It really is amazing that... it really is amazing when you look at... what he's done with this, where they put him in the bunker, which I kid him about all the time. I said, really? He says, did they let you out at all? He goes, yeah, sometimes. But they put him in the bunker. And you know what? Out of 68 teams, once in a while he get all 68. A lot of times it's 67.
Yeah.
And he has them seated in the right spot. Because part of this is, and I talked to Jerry Palm about this before, it's not a question of what your opinion is as to where you think they're going to be seated or that they're in or not. That's not your job. Your job is to try and think the way the committee is thinking. That's your job. Try and think the way they think. That way you give the reader or the viewer, or in this case the listener, an accurate idea of what, you know, based on your experience and your research, what is the committee in the room thinking?
Yeah, and Steve, you have to be like almost a psychologist to figure out the mix of that committee, because it's not a static committee. The membership changes over time.
So it does change. It does change over time, but there are certain metrics that they use.
Sure.
Certain elements they value, like the net, they value the KenPom rankings, they value quad 1, 2, 3, 4 records, they value. So there are certain metrics that they value that if you now use that and apply it to how you're doing your bracket, it now helps you to at least think along with them. It may not be perfect, but but a guy like Joe Lenardi, who studies it, understands it, gets it, can at least be, can do it with a level of accuracy, which I find to be remarkable.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I admire very, very much. And, I mean, I follow it closely, but, you know, when now Joe does games, too. He does St. Joe's.
Right.
But, I mean, look, when you're doing games, I can look at, read it, research and so forth, but I'm not going to throw the same effort into it because my effort has to be someplace else.
Yeah. Now, does Joe get a chance after the brackets have been released to talk to the committee?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I was wondering how that worked. Are they sworn to, you know, secrecy or something like that?
No, they explain themselves.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And thanks, by the way, to Bob Bertone, the head of the District 1631 Little League in Luzerne County. They're bagging the Astros for this season. Nobody's going to wear any Astros T-shirts playing games. They just didn't feel like putting up with the hassle for the kids, and you don't blame them for that at all. Penn State basketball, tonight you will have on the show Patrick Chambers, also tonight Missy Doherty from women's lacrosse. But doggone, every time Cotrillo gets an email, we get a ping. That's
yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
a lot of people seem to really like him.
Oh, he's got thousands of friends on social media.
Oh, well, not only that, but I mean the ones who are from Lisa pick up more diapers. I mean, I want
that's part of it too.
Just
yeah.
Try. I mean, it's just interrupting the show. I mean, it's an obvious thing, isn't it? Pitt gets an NCAA 3-year show cause as part of a negotiated settlement with the university following an NCAA investigation into alleged rules violations by the football and men's basketball programs. Now, these are not catastrophic. these are not catastrophic violations, but we'll describe them to you. First of all, Kevin Stallings is not named in the report. And look, I'll freely admit, when Jacob Stallings of the Pirates was here, that's Kevin's son.
Okay, yeah.
I saw Kevin all the time. I mean, all the time. Talked to him all the time. He came on the broadcast with me a few times, whatever. I consider Kevin a friend, okay? So I don't like seeing his name linked to any of this stuff, but it's part of the story. But I want to at least be upfront with everybody that, look, you know, I consider him a friend. And I think he's a terrific guy.
And but he, Steve, again, he is where right now?
He's not coaching at all right now.
Okay.
Okay. He did a great job at Vanderbilt. Now and then after Pitt, he's out right now. But here are the violations. Three non-coaching staff members were allowed to perform coaching duties, resulting in the program exceeding the number of permissible coaches. The negotiated resolution also concluded that the former men's coach, that would be him, developed an alert system to ensure non-coaching staff would not be caught on the practice floor coaching student athletes. The NCAA also said there was an order to delete practice video in an attempt to prevent the administration from confirming violations that occurred. Pitt basketball program is also accused of breaking rules by producing personalized recruiting videos for 12 prospects to watch during their official or unofficial visits to campus. A show cause penalty requires a school to contact the Office of Committees on Infractions to make arrangements to show cause why restrictions on all athletically related activities should not apply. Okay. Stallings did not cooperate with the NCAA investigation. But if he were to be hired in the next 3 years, then he would be suspended for 30% of the team's games. Okay? Because they say he failed to monitor his staff and promote an atmosphere of compliance. According to the NCAA announcement, the former director of basketball operations also violated NCAA ethical conduct rules by refusing to participate in an NCAA interview about his involvement in coaching activities. See, and that's where this comes in. What they refer to as the, quote, Dobo, director of basketball operations, Dobo.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're not supposed to be coaches unless something, for example, happens. Like, say, an assistant coach falls ill or is hospitalized. Well, that person can then move up and can be designated as a coach, okay? But if that's not the case and they're, you know, and all the coaches are available and doing their jobs, the, quote, Dobo can't coach. And there are many of the director of basketball operations people, many, have been coaches at one point or another in the course of their career. So that's that part. So now let's get to football. Football is also accused of exceeding the permissible number of coaches on the practice field under Pat Narduzzi between 15 and 17. So those three seasons. It says the university conducted adequate spot checks of the program, but the agreement said violations were undetected in part due to the program's practice of playing music to indicate when outside parties were present at the practice facility. So, in other words, when the music played, everybody, you know, those who allegedly weren't supposed to be out there would then not scatter, but would, in other words, not physically be on the field, you know, like within the boundaries of the field coaching. Okay, you can be on a sideline, something like that. Okay. Football quality control staff members reported that they would make sure that they were not near student athletes when hearing the music. Pat Narduzzi said in a statement that he is wholeheartedly committed to following NCAA rules and preventing these type of issues from happening again. Okay. So the penalties are as follows. 3 years probation. A $5,000 fine plus 0.5% of each of the men's basketball and football budgets. Show cause for the head football coach. So Pat Narduzzi will not be able to coach 2 days of the team's practices in the preseason in August. He also was not allowed to be a part of off-campus recruiting for a full week between December 1st of last year and February 1st of this year. Once again, the deal with Kevin is that he would be suspended for 30% of the first season of employment should he get another job at any time in the 3 year period. There will be a reduction in the men's basketball recruiting person days by 17. There'll be a reduction in the number of men's basketball countable coaches by one regular season practice for 16 hours. And two football quality control staff members must be removed from practice for 3 days during the academic year.
And Steve, does Pat Narduzzi have to write on the chalkboard 100 times, "I will never use extra coaches ever again"? I mean, these penalties, this is all very silly stuff to me, anyway.
Well,
I think the average fan is going, "Are you kidding me?" So what if they have a couple guys out on the practice field? I mean,
well, how did I preface it by saying that none of this was, you know, this isn't like, "Oh, hey, Penn State fans, I've got this bad Pitt story here." Yeah. No, I think I couched it about the right way. Like, okay, it's news, it's of interest, it's Pitt.
It is.
So you mention it, but it's none of it is like, "Oh, my goodness gracious." I mean, you know.
I wonder what songs they played to tip them off. Was it like Inagata De Vida or some rock, or did they go with a Sinatra song? What was the, you know, what was the code? I mean, that just, again, from I think a lot of people's perspective, that's those rules that the NCAA makes that everybody really doesn't like, the college football and basketball fans.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think it, except for the fact that it's Pitt. I would have mentioned this story regardless. This has been Arizona. I'd mentioned the story and did the same thing.
Sure.
There's no difference. If it had been Virginia Tech, for example, I'd done the same thing, same story, just because it's just a point of interest in saying, okay, look, this happened, and that's the deal.
Yeah. You know,
that's all it is.
All the Division I programs have in football, wrestling, and basketball this director of operations, you know, the guy that makes the travel arrangements. But remarkably, they all seem to be former athletes that were pretty good in their day.
It depends. For example, like really, the guys that are running Penn State, let's take football, Michael Hazel and Kevin Threlkell are not.
Yeah.
Right? They're not.
Okay.
Neither one of them, when they come out to the practice field, I'll be honest with you, they usually come out near the end, you know, because they have to make a couple of announcements to the players or whatever, that they're not coaches. And they're, you know, and just really, really good people. Now, in basketball here at Penn State, Dave Capriletti is the one that runs the, and he definitely is not a coach.
Wrestling, it'd be Adam Lynch, former wrestler. And from the Lewisburg area high school, went on to Penn State, and I think Cale Sanderson found him. He inherited him when Cale got there, and he blossomed as a wrestler, and he's been with the program and does a fabulous job of having to coordinate the trips to nationals, to the Big Tens, et cetera.
Yeah, he does a great job.
Yeah.
No doubt. So that's it's one of those like, quote, "We'll pass it on to you," and that's what it is. We'll pass it on to you, and that's about the extent I think this story deserves. That it's just a pass it on to you. That way, you heard about it.
Steve, the intriguing thing about what you just talked about was something about spot checks. What's that about? I mean, does that happen at Penn State, that somebody comes along and spot checks things and counts noses on the practice field?
Oh, sure. I see compliance people.
Wow.
I see compliance people. I was at basketball practice last week. One of the compliance guys showed up. Like, that's fine.
Yeah, but
if you're doing everything fine, you don't have to worry about it.
Right, but I mean, the average fan has no idea that this stuff goes on, you know, behind the scenes of a major program, whatever the sport is, that there are people coming around and checking on the coaches and counting noses, etc.
Well, basketball's easy.
Sure.
It's easy. You want to know why? Because the practice gym is located where you can see it from the offices.
Ah.
I mean, it can't be any. Sometimes they actually physically come down to the floor, but to be honest with you, they can look down and go, "Okay, what's this deal?" I mean, they've got offices on three sides of the practice floor. All right. When it comes to football, you could walk in the football office and you can look down from the deck if you wanted to. But I mean, if you're doing things right, you don't really worry about it too much. You can spot check all you want. All right. The only time you're worried about being spot checked is if you're doing something wrong.
Of course.
All right. Like, for example, you know, at the moment, if we were to spot check in the corner office, The guy snoring. We'll come back. Yes, dreaming about. You know what he's dreaming about?
Oh. Okay. I don't want to get in those dreams.
He's dreaming about three pins that never fell. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. By the way, Bobby, you brought up spot checks. I just want to remind everybody that when it comes to Pitt football, you would have to spot check because they don't practice on campus. They practice at the UPMC Center where the Steelers practice. So they're not even in a relative sense even close to practice. So you'd actually have to go over and you would have to spot check.
I want that job.
Oh, I mean, a lot of people do. I mean, it's like you spend most of the time playing golf.
Exactly. working on your bowling game, as the case may be.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but when you're haunted by three pins still standing, man.
Yeah, on the 12th ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably still has disbelief.
He thinks people sabotaged the 12th ball. He's conspiracy theory.
Admittedly, you and I were both there that night.
Yeah,
all right, so
exactly.
He just didn't see us.
So this upcoming weekend, Steve, what are you doing?
What am I doing? Well, Thon's going to be in the Jordan Center.
So you're not going to be, well, it's going to be a little crowded there, let's face it.
Yeah, Thon's going to be in the Jordan Center. It starts tomorrow evening. They're going to go for 46 hours. The first ever Thon back in the 70s took place in the Hub Ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
And they raised $2,000. Last year, they were in the Bryce Jordan Center, and they raised $10.6 million for the Four Diamonds Fund at the Hershey Medical Center for the kids.
Steve, I went to one of the first Thons in the Hub. Two of my friends from home were seniors. They asked me to come down to this dance thing, and Jimmy Cephalo was like the master of ceremonies back in the day.
Yep. Well, they went from the Hub to the White Building to Rec Hall, and now they're in the Jordan Center. And so they're here. Penn State basketball will practice in the IM Building Saturday morning and then fly to Bloomington for the game at Indiana, which will be noon on Sunday. So that's what we have going on.
And you'll be on live, 11:30 Sunday morning on WKOK?
11:30 Sunday morning with Dick Girardi. Basketball team, Indiana won last night, and for the most part played pretty well. Trace Jackson Davis, the son of Dale Davis, and stepson of Ray Jackson, was awesome last night. He had a career-high 27 points, a career-high 16 rebounds, and played awesome basketball. For the most part, Devontae Green shot the ball decently. For the most part, nobody else for Indiana actually played really well last night. But they had one guy that was off the charts, and Minnesota, and we talked about this on the show a month ago, after Penn State was there, Dick and I both said, with all the minutes they're forced to play, because they're not a deep team, with all the minutes they are forced to play, that team is going to be out of gas in mid-February. They looked absolutely dog-tired last night. I mean, Oturo is a heck of a player. Could barely jump last night. He's going up against Trace Jackson. Davis could barely leave his feet to do it. He's so exhausted. Same thing with Marcus Carr, driving to the buckets, his big thing. Couldn't get it done last night because they're just so tired from all the minutes they played. And, I mean, and Richard Pitino doesn't have much choice.
No.
He doesn't have enough depth on the team to give himself the best chance to win. He's had to play these guys a lot of minutes.
Yep. Steve, isn't Indiana coached by a Pennsylvanian?
Archie Miller.
From Blackhawk, I believe, high school.
Yeah, yes.
Dad was the coach.
And his brother Sean's at Arizona.
And what I think is amusing from a Pennsylvania point of view is Indiana is the basketball state, Hoosiers and all that.
Yeah.
But they get a guy from Pennsylvania to coach him. I'm very proud of that fact.
Well, he's also gone out and did a great job at Dayton.
Yes.
Now here at Indiana, it's been, you know, the graph's been a little up and down. This is a huge game for them because right now a lot of people have Indiana right near the cut line. And so for them, this is going to be their Super Bowl. And they need this game.
Yeah.
But Penn State has to go in, and believe me, it's been emphasized to them that they too need this game. And so go from there.
Yeah, could be a battle royale. I hope they don't bring Bobby Knight out on Sunday afternoon to walk around.
Well,
the
they already did that once with
say,
Purdue.
Yeah.
He came in, and they didn't win the game.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they didn't win the game. And then Bob Knight and Gene Cady both went to the Pacers game that night, and they were honored at the Pacers game together.
Wow. That's class.
Yeah. How well Bob Knight is... I've talked to enough people that know, at least enough, and I'd say right now the best way of putting it is that he's hanging in there.
He came out of onto the floor of the gym, the arena that night, you could tell he was having some difficulty navigating. But
yeah.
I'm glad he did that. I'm glad that that all occurred. I'm glad his players were back. It was a very touching scene, frankly.
I think, to be honest with you, the biggest part of it is that Indiana fans, and look, I've done, 25 games in there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, over the last 17, 18 years, they'd run a pregame video, and every time his clip came up, or clips, it'd be two or three clips of him in the pregame video,
mm-hmm. The
place would go insane. And I think what this allowed the Indiana fan base to do was, after all these years, I think it finally gave them closure.
No doubt about that. That was a needed event.
Joe Lenardi tomorrow, Nate Bauer tomorrow, the King tomorrow, and maybe one other added guest.